All right, so Sunday morning, first Sunday, your pastor, your new pastor gets to preach to you, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm glad I could be here today just to be a part of this moment with you as Banner family, as Banner Church. You know, there's lots to think about in this sermon that I have for you and prepared for you as a message, as an opportunity to share my heart of what it means to be a pastor and kind of where my heart is, not only with my family, but with my church family, as you'll see as time goes on. This idea of legacy has been kind of drawn through and out in different directions through many various organizations in this, not only these communities, but this nation, this world. And sometimes legacy gets a bad rep. So I'm going to kind of bring it back into focus for us for what it means to have a legacy focused on God and focused on honoring Him first. So today, let's think about this. If today you were at Banner Church and you weren't here, but you were here for your funeral. It was your funeral. And all of us here were gathered together to talk about you. What do you think they'd say? Your family, your friends, and everybody. What would they say about you? Probably the question we all want to say is, well, what would you want them to say? Is the better question for us to ask and interpret and think about. What would you want those family and friends to say about you? See, when it comes to a legacy, the legacy you leave truly is the legacy you live. That it's not something that can just be snapped and here it is and here's what I left behind. Because the way you live your life and everything you do, whether it's good times or bad times, that is the legacy you're leaving. And that's something for us to focus on and remember and be intentional about. And today we're going to be talking about a few different items, about what it means to live a legacy more than just want it. See, sometimes we think about leaving a legacy as, I don't know, personal achievement. You know, bigger title, bigger money, and that means legacy. To us, not to God, of course. Some people see their legacy as living vicariously through their children. You know, my child does this, and that makes me the better person. See, some people live vicariously through their children. And their success and their accomplishments and everything they do. But here's something you have to understand, and you'll get used to this phrase by me, is that, I don't know, your legacy, the legacy you're living, it's about you. But the legacy that everyone else is living is not about you at all. It's about God. It's about the way we live our lives in and out about God and for Him. See, God defines legacy in terms of the daily contact, the daily interactions that you do with your family and friends. And so today, I'm going to do my Elvis pose up here when I tell them I need them to slide forward, okay? So you're going to see my Elvis pose every once in a while. And they're going to slide forward for me so you can see what I have on my screen. So this is all I have on my screen this time. So have you ever thought about Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9? As a challenge. Now, some of you have read this passage. Some of you have gone to this passage and like, oh, this is a great passage. This is the way I want to live my life. But if you really think about it in the context of a challenge, it actually changes sometimes your perspective. Let me read aloud for you if you'd like to turn there. We will be referencing this passage quite a few times. There's several other little passages that I'll just mention and or paraphrase for you during the time. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your forehead, on your hand, and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. See, now when you process this from the context of how I started it, think about it like a challenge. And you hear those words. Repeat them to your children. Tie them to your doorposts. In those phrasings and those things, and you think about it like a challenge, here's the question for you. How are you living up to the Deuteronomy challenge? As Banner people, as husbands, as fathers, as wives, as mothers, as brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. How are you living up to the Deuteronomy challenge of what it means to not only live a legacy, but leave a legacy beyond this world? See, leaving a legacy is loving God and teaching his ways in our day-to-day life. It's not just Sunday morning. I know that's probably a real hard thing for us to understand. But that when we live our lives, it's day in and day out. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday is the great opportunity for us to get back together and worship together. But it's the way we live our lives, day in and day out. Elvis pose. So if you're a fill-in-the-blank person, I put a few fill-in-the-blanks in your bulletin for you. If you're not fill-in-the-blank people, you can just get to listen. So the first part of this sermon is going to be unintentional legacies. See, we're already building a legacy, whether you want to or not. Now, there might be a few of you who are like, you know, I don't really care. I'm just here for me, and this world is about me, and I'm here to on Sunday morning to feel good about myself, and that's great. It's not about anybody else. Well, you'd be wrong. Let me just start with that, and I know it's probably terrible for the new pastor to say you're wrong, but you are absolutely wrong. It really is about something more than just you, and that you can't live your life day in and day out, however you want to live, and not affect someone else. Because it just affects everybody. No matter how you want to live, whether you want to live it godly or ungodly, your life affects the people around you, whether you want it to or not. All right, so when you look at this, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, passing the generational bondage. See, there's something in life that when it comes to being a legacy, that it's more than just, you know, the good times, the fantastic moments that we celebrate at Thanksgiving time and or Christmas, that we have these wonderful moments with our families, that sometimes we pass on something that is, well, less desirable. Not necessarily godly traits. Sometimes we pass on things we don't want to. And so a perfect example for us is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's a very specific thing that all three of them passed on in their life. The first point is the unintentional legacy, lies and deceit. And so let's look at Abraham for this. And referencing it, I'm just going to reference it for you, but if I have it written in your bulletin for us, Genesis 20, verses 1 and 2. And it's when Abraham lied about Sarah in Egypt. See, now, in this story, you know, Abraham and Sarah went out and they were in Egypt and they needed to seek shelter. And Sarah was obviously Abraham's wife. And he lied about Sarah, said, "This is my sister rather than my wife." Seems simple, just a little lie, a little white lie, right? Well, then Isaac, he got his son, lied about Rebekah in Egypt in the very same way. "This is my sister, not my wife." And that references Genesis 26, 6 through 11. And then you pass down the line one more time to Jacob, and you got Jacob lied to Isaac for the blessing, Genesis 27. Liar, liar, liar. Godly men, right? And we all know them to be godly men. But what did they pass on? They passed on generational bondage of lying. Now, none of them got together and said, "Hey, you know, here's what I want to pass on to my sons. I want you to be a really good liar. And here's how you do it. No, what happened is they actually seen it lived out. Not necessarily in the moments, but those lying tendencies don't just happen in those moments, right? So the sons of the fathers learned it from their fathers. That when afraid, when your life's in danger, it's okay to lie. And so it just passed on and passed on and passed on. Those unintentional bondage, the generational bondages that we pass on to our loved ones and our family and our friends and everyone around us. But remember this, it's fear-driven. It's fear-driven. Those aren't moments like, you know, I think I'm going to lie today and I'm going to make sure that Gabe sees it. I think that sounds like a good plan. No, it's unintentional. It's something you do by habit because you haven't processed fully what it is. Or it might be fear-driven like this. I'm afraid I'm going to get killed if I tell them this is my wife rather than my sister. Fear-driven. I really want the promise, so I'm going to lie because I really want it and I need it. Fear-driven drives it to make poor decisions. But here's an encouraging nugget. It's never too late to turn a new leaf. You like the pun in that? It's never late to turn a new leaf. It really isn't. See, these men were good men who made some poor choices in the way they led their life and the way they let their children rise up to lead theirs. They made some poor choices. But remember this. It's never too late. It's never too late to make the change, to reverse the bondage that might be happening in your family or has happened in your family all these years. But it's that awareness of what is going on, that awareness of this is the problem going on in our life that we need to change. That awareness allows us to then seek it out and rebuild from it. You here, if you have suffered this, been a part of this generational bondage, maybe not lying, maybe it's something else, maybe it's alcoholism, whatever it might be, that's been passed down from generation to generation, you can be the one that breaks the cycle. You can be the one that changes the path for future generations. You can be the one that makes that change. Elvis pose. I'm going to get me a clicker for next week. What about intentional legacies? So these same three men, we're going to think about something different. We're going to think about their intentional legacy that they live. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob again, but now they're passing on godly behavior. Something different, right? Because no one ever really wants to be known for the bad things they pass on. So here's some good items to think through what they passed on. Abraham intentionally passed on unwavering faith. Unwavering faith. Think about this. This man heard God's voice, packed up his family, and left because God said so. Now, how many of us here would be willing to do that today? I bet there's a few of us pretty willing to pack up and move everything. But then there's always that thought, even the same thought that Sarah and I had to consider of even coming here, packing up all we have to move completely different world to be there, to transplant, because we felt God was calling us. It's not unheard of for any one of us to have that same question to ponder throughout life. But see, Abraham passed on something really good, unwavering faith. He believed God was telling him to move on, and he moved on. He trusted everything that God had told him, and he went to a foreign land and left the familiar. See, Hebrews 11, 17 through 21 says this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He received the promise, and he was offering his unique son, the one it had been said about. Your seed will be traced through Isaac. He considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead. And as an illustration, he received him back. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and he worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. See, these men were the beginnings of the family tree that still is promised, that the promised Messiah came from, and that is still promised to us today. These amazing lineage that was passed on because of his unwavering faith of what God was calling him to. Those are moments that we can't give up. Those are moments that we have to remember all the time. That even in the difficult moments, in the hard challenges, in those moments that we're being called to do something that's out of our comfort zone, that we must do because of our faith in who God is and who he is more than us. And if you remember, we already talked about how they left some really bad bondage too, right? So some of you are saying, well, those are just some bad eggs in the batch. Well, if my Elvis post proves anything, we'll go to the next slide here. And this next slide will show you what I'm talking about. God can use broken branches. So in this legacy, in this leaving a legacy of this lineage of trees, all these branches spreading out leaf for leaf, there's going to be some bad moments in life. Think about more than just what I've said today about from Abraham all the way to today. Very difficult moments that happened in life. Maybe you were one of those difficult moments at times. Maybe you fought so hard against God, you were considered at one time a completely broken branch. But if you remember, God is a God of love, a God of grace, a God of mercy. And he can use broken branches. He mends them and brings them back in the fold. That is an encouraging note for us all to remember. See, their legacy was passed to us through providing the idea of living godly, day in and day out, trusting God for more than just moments, trusting God more than just those big, huge, great, satisfying moments that happen in life. That is more than that. These men were not CEOs of big, huge corporations. These men were just godly men living out life day in and day out. They were flawed people who made some very serious mistakes. Lie, lie, lie. But that God could use them because he is bigger than their mistakes, and he is bigger than your mistakes. And that's an intentional moment that we have to understand, that God is greater than all of those mistakes and broken branches that might fall in our lineage of life. You know, when God rises up, his people, his men, his women, his family, he doesn't just tell them to go and, you know, do whatever you want to do and it'll all work out in the end. He lays out a plan. He helps you be encouraged by that plan. He gives you the faith to follow the plan. And you go forth and follow that plan. Because you have to remember that you can live a human legacy, and that legacy truly is about you. That legacy that you want to live, that you strive for, that is all about you, really is about you. But if you want to live a legacy that is lasting, that is honoring, that is way beyond you, the first thing you have to say and remember to yourself is living a legacy is not about you at all. It has everything to do with God. The way he loves you, the way he cares for you, and the way you choose to live that out. That is what a legacy truly is about. We're going to go two slides forward, please. So we look at that living out a legacy and the daily messiness of life. You go back to Deuteronomy 6, 7. It is this. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Now, some of us have a struggle to even open our Bibles at all throughout the week. Or we carry it on Sunday morning and it looks real nice. And this is my pulpit Bible, so it always stays here. But this looks really clean and unused. Now, some of our Bibles look like that already, even if you carry it in every single Sunday. Because we haven't opened the pages throughout the week to invest any time in what God's Word has to say to us. To invest any time in our children and reading scripture with them, helping them understand what God's word truly is. Because every single day you are going to be busy. Church, I'm telling you, you are a busy church. Every one of you have something going on. But don't neglect the finite thing of ministering to your children. Ministering to your neighbor's children, ministering to your neighbors, loving on your family and friends through scripture. Because if you take a moment out of your messiness, your busyness of your life, and help children, help your loved ones understand what scripture truly is, that is passing on godly ways. See, living it out, or you can call it life application, or whatever you'd like to call it in this moment, we have to understand what this living a legacy truly means on a practical level. Because yes, Pastor Teddy, I heard you say, it's get in my Bible, make sure it doesn't look brand new anymore, I'm going to rough it up when I get home. I'm going to tell my kid to read it because he reads better than me. Stuff like, I understand, Pastor, I got you. But what about living it out? What about really taking it to the next step? Really taking it beyond just scripture and living it out 1 foot at a time. So we're going to change slides one more time. So this next fill in the blank here is this. His legacy for us is to love one another. And loving means learning to forgive. Whoa. Because remember I said about those broken branches? Remember I said about those difficult people that might have been in your life? Maybe you were one of those difficult people. See, God mends branches, but he also does it through his people. I don't know about you, but I have sometimes a kind of chaotic, crazy family. Not Sarah's side, of course, but my side. But there are moments that we don't like each other. Now, I know none of you probably suffer from that. That family are difficult and have disagreements and arguments. But if every single time that happened, I just wrote them off, it'd be a pretty small family, wouldn't it? I might even consider writing Sarah off sometimes. But instead, we have to live godly. We have to understand what scripture is telling us. And we have to live it out. We have to take 1 foot and put in front of the other and extend our hand and forgiveness of those who hurt us, those who make bad choices, and we have to forgive. Next piece of scripture is 1 John 4:12, and I'll read it to you, but definitely put your reference in your bulletin for you. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is perfected in us. Think about that. If every day you got up and thought about this phrase, that God's love is perfected in us, what are you doing? Or better yet, what aren't you doing? Because it's the way you extend your hand. It's the way you extend your voice. It's the way you extend those moments of forgiveness, of love, of kindness, of care, that it makes the love that God has for us and that he has put in us perfect. And it's only through trial that we do it. And it's only through those moments of forgiveness and grace that we offer that it happens. Our world is terrible at forgiveness. Let me be very clear. I'll better repeat that one more time. Our world is terrible at forgiveness. You know, if you do something wrong, you're always known for that, right? Not all the good moments. Remember all those good moments you did? You were a really good person, but you made that one mistake. And that's all you're ever known for. Now, thankfully, God has a different plan for us, and he has lots of other perspectives. So in God's family, we don't act that way, right, Banner? We are forgiving and loving and caring. But there are those rare moments when we forget to act godly. We forget to extend the hand of forgiveness and grace and mercy. Or think about that coworker, that complicated coworker who you dread if you have to go in and work next to him that day. Imagine if you have a cubicle next to him. That's even worse. That every day you go in and you think, man, I hope they're just called in sick today. I've had those moments. I've had to get past those moments because I remember it's not very godly. Which stinks, because sometimes I don't want to be very godly. And I know you feel the same way, because we all do. But we know that's the right thing to do. Because if you think about Deuteronomy 6 as that challenge moment, as that moment to progress beyond just living it out day in and day out for myself, but for what I'm doing for my family, my friends, and my loved ones, and the ones I work with that are around me. So if you go to this next slide, there's a few options here of what it means for a model of forgiveness. Choosing to pass up an easy opportunity to gossip about someone who's offended you. Choosing to speak respectfully about a spouse in front of others, including your children, even if they don't deserve it. Choosing to help someone who's purposefully made life hard, whether it be a coworker, family member, church member, or choosing to believe that people can change, even the person who angered or hurt you. And one more slide forward. Think about that. Those are opportunities for us to not only work it out, but live it out. Imagine what you will be known for if that is your model that you live by, that you strive to do day in and day out. See, forgiveness is the way to mend those brokenness. That brokenness in our families, in our relationships, in our churches. Forgiveness to one another for being coarse or being hard or difficult or saying or doing something wrong. That forgiveness is what mends those bonds and what fixes our relationships. But in your legacy, in the one that you're living, how are you measuring up? How are you measuring up to what God has for you, to the standard he has set forth? So in this wrap-up moment here, next slide, please. For better or worse, you're already passing on a legacy. Whether you want to or not, and you're impacting the next generation day in and day out. The way you greet the children in this hallway matters. The way you greet your neighbor's children matters. The way you greet your neighbors matters. Whether you want to or not, you are living a legacy, and something is going to be left. It can be God's love that you left, that you remind everybody of, or it could be destruction, pain. Next slide, please. So when you look at your legacy, does it line up to God's design? In Deuteronomy 6, we'll repeat this one more time. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Those words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. Building a Deuteronomy 6 legacy happens day in and day out, choice by choice. It is more than just saying the words. It is more than just saying, yeah, I believe in God's word. It's all good. It is about living that out day in and day out, choice by choice. You can choose to love, or you could choose to hate. You can choose to forgive, or you could choose to despise. Those are all choices. And every choice that you make, every choice that you decide, is building your legacy, one building block at a time. I say choose love. See, God mended the broken branches in the legacy that he had for us. He's mended them all the way through. Now, sometimes we tend to cause more damage sometimes because we forget the fundamental values of what it means to love and forgive. He can mend the broken branches in our own church family. He can mend any conflict that has happened here over the many, many years that we have been Banner. He can mend our Banner tree of legacy. Now, next slide, please. But here's the question. Something you have to understand about God is that he tends to ask us to do something. Because reality is he's all powerful. He's all knowing. He is awesome. So here's the fact you must know. He is able to do all these things. Are you willing to be his legacy lever? Are you willing to be his legacy lever? Legacies are not made in major life moments. They are built in our day-to-day decisions in the way we love our God. That's our sermon for this week. So I'm going to close our sermon out in prayer, and then I'll take a moment to dismiss you. Father, thank you for your message today. Thank you for the way you have built it, the way you have instructed your people. Father, may you guide and direct each one of us to be more than just good Christians. Allow us to be godly Christians. Allow us to be your people. Allow us to love unconditionally. Allow us to see the intentional legacies from Abraham of this unwavering faith. And may we have it today because we've been shown. Father, may our children, may our families rise up to be godly families because we are willing to believe in you and trust in you and put our full love in you. Father, we put our full trust in you today and we honor you. We're making those choice-by-choice decisions day in and day out. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this